Sorry about that, Kathy.
He was
What was he doing? Oh, he was really pissed because I was making more money than he was. He'd been out there for 3 years, and I was starting on a rig. He was pretty PO'd.
How'd you do that, anyway?
Huh?
How'd you do that?
Just that we were paid more than him. That's all there was to it. I mean, working on the rig was a lot more money than being in the ship. And he was wanting to get a job up on there. And I told him I'd talk to somebody and see if I could find him. After, you know, I'd known him for a month or two out there, I was really impressed with his working, but the quality of his working, his intensity was, and how sharp. His flexibility and things, his ability to adapt to situations and work. He seemed really conscientious, really alert. So he was the first person I've ever recommended for a hard job, and he was the only one I've ever known since then. I felt real confident about him. And I was doing really well with the company because I was moving up real fast. And knew the people in the office real well. And used to go in there every 2 weeks when I got home just to let them know how things were going, what was going on. And they all knew me real well. I used to go in there and kid around with them for a while. So I went in there and made a recommendation for employment at a dance. And they took it really well, and they hired him. And they got him a job on one of the rigs in the Gulf, and he did real well. God, he did real well. They loved him up, and they thought he was real good. He didn't get promoted practically at all. But he got promoted just at the end, just before he dislocated his shoulder. Plus, they stacked his rig. They took it off the line. Because when that oil, when everything got tight a year and a half ago, they stacked him last year. And that's when they take the rig off them. There's no contract for the rig. There's no business. So they laid off all the guys. But just before that, about a week before it had been stacked, he just was getting his shoulder. So he sued them and got $19,000 about a month ago from that. So he's sitting pretty right now. But, well, I got him all that damn money. Pissed me off. But he got the job, and he did real well with me. He was living in Louisiana at the time, and I was living in Houston. And he wanted to move to Houston, where the base of the company was. I told him, well, come stay with me for a while so you get your own place, and then go from there. So he moved into my apartment with me. And we got along real well. We got along great. He always struck me as, it was always sort of odd how he'd talk about the girl that he's interested in, that he'd met at different places, but none of them ever seemed to formulate. He never seemed to have any real bond between them. He always seemed to have a hard time relating to them, dealing with them. Never seemed to have any kind of contact with them.
Do you know anything about his background?
Yeah. I knew all about his family and his background and everything. Nothing unusual whatsoever there from his background, and I just thought, well, anyway, he was definitely a shy, bashful type guy, real sensitive, real emotional, real sensitive guy.
And I thought, got hurt real bad one time.
Well, no, I mean, you're immediately looking for an excuse to wonder why he's gay.
Right. There may not be any.
But
any
you're immediately assuming that something
reason.
Dark happened in his early childhood and made him gay. I don't know what the answer is yet. See, I've been really close to two guys now that are definitely homosexual. I can't figure out what it is.
There's
definitely no one answer. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's a biological thing or whether it's something that is just due to the way they're raised or something. I don't know what it is, or whether it's just a combination of, you know, both genetics and biology, of how they feel and how their family treats them that makes them feel that way, sensitive towards men. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's biologically right. I can't accept that. I don't think it's right. I don't condemn anybody for it. I mean, one of my best friends, Dan, is gay. I mean, he's a good friend. You know, I go out with him every chance I get.
Yeah.
Very often.
I don't feel it's right.
I don't see it. I don't think it's biologically right. I don't accept it as being a biological norm. I don't. Not even that as a norm. I just don't think it's right. I think that something can be done and should be done to try to correct the situation. Not ostracization, but something should be done.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of them don't want it,
so you can't do anything for them. But if they want it, and Dan has wanted in the past. He's talking about it. He goes, I don't know what to do to make myself. He goes, I don't feel right. I think a lot of it is just guilt because of societal pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to accept now that he is gay and that people like him for it, and he doesn't have any problems with it. So he seems, it's becoming such an accepted thing now that he's not getting any backlash pressure from people at work. You know, he's gay now. And they're giving him a hard time for it, apparently. So it's becoming easier for him to become gay,
yeah.
be accepted as gay.
Well, and
I think that's
sort of the fashion, too.
Well, not so much the fashion, but it's becoming an accepted norm.
Oh, I think it's the fashion, too. Especially in California, a lot of people become gay just because it's the thing to do.
Well, in California, they do anything because
it's those are not.
California,
well,
you can't.
I'm
California
not.
Is not the norm anyhow. That's,
no,
that's the land
of
fruit.
No, people
there,
it is the same thing. Started acting that way, acting effeminate because they thought that was part of being gay, and just sort of trying something new. That was just something.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their
really
growth
gay.
Process, but eventually they really weren't gay.
But they're not really gay, they're just experimenting.
Those are not the hardcore gay
But they're
people.
Not gay, they're just playing.
But some people like your friend Dan, maybe, you know, maybe there's nothing to do about it.
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't know either. He's talking to people. But it's funny because he's living with me there. I'm just like, this, you know, something's not quite right. But I never put a finger on it. Never saw anything that struck me otherwise. I had my doubts. I started to wonder whether he was gay or not. I said to myself, he must be gay. There must be something. I just had a feeling he was gay, just because of his emotions, the way he had dealt, the way he acted. Certain nights he would go out, and, you know, he would tell me where he went. It wasn't just didn't seem to make sense. What he said didn't seem to coincide with what I'd seen and how he came back. I just thought that doesn't seem right. I left about 3 months, 2.5 months after him living in. About 2 months. We lived together for about 2 months. Not quite, about a month. Yeah, you know, well, it was almost 2 months. He moved to a new apartment, and I moved with him. I was on the rig. I moved my stuff into the apartment, just left it all packed in boxes, because when I was coming off the rig, I expected to be moving back to New York. I got back, packed up the car, and left. Wrote him about twice when I was down in New York for the next over the next year. Called him about 2 or 3 times to see how he was doing. He always said, come to Austin, and he moved to Austin in the interim. So he said, love Austin, you've got to come down here. When you come back here, come to Austin, you stay with me until you get your own place, or just stay with me, you know, whatever you decide you want to do. But he goes, you know, stay with me the first month, free rent is free, and after that, you decide what you want to do. And he said, you know, I don't have a roommate, now you can come on, you can stay here if you want to, unless you want to do something else, you know. Whatever you decide you want to do. I definitely felt that I was his best friend at that time, and I definitely was. His best friend had found out that he was gay, and had told him he never wanted to talk to him again. That was essentially now his best friend. So when I came down here, I told him I was coming down, and he was all excited. We got together, we had a great time for the first couple of weeks. He just went out and did stuff, and I didn't have a job yet for the first week. Then I got a job, and he was working. He was, you know, he'd been laid off. He was still on compensation from the job because his rig was still stacked. And then when he started his suit, he was no longer working for them. And he started working construction and then taxi driving. Now he's working at the high frequency.
Here in town?
Yeah. And that's what he wants to do. That's definitely what he wants to do. He wants to stay in the high and work his way up. He's really happy. He's enjoying himself now. Now he's got some extra cash. He's clear of himself financially, which is good. But as I was staying here, I started to say to myself, something is not right here. Definitely, something is not right. And my mind said to me, he's gay, but I wasn't sure, and I wasn't about to make any statements, and I wasn't about to confront him and say, Dan, are you gay? And the guy go, what? You asshole, get out of here. But he didn't,
you
know.
I say, yes!
Yes. No,
yeah,
I knew that wasn't going to happen, but I had a feeling he was gay.
But
one night we went out together. We hadn't gone out in a long time, just the two of us. We went out, we drank until about 12:30, we got home, and we were both inebriated. and he said, I've got to talk to you. And I knew, just as soon as he said that, because something's been bothering me for a long time, and I've got to talk to you. When he said that, I knew it immediately, he was going to confess that he was gay. But I just sat there and said, well, what? What do you want to say? You know, and I just figured I'd see how he said it. I knew it at that point. I couldn't believe how quickly I knew he was going to say that he was gay. But he said, you probably know this already. He goes, I'm almost sure you know. He goes, but I just need to talk about it. I need to get it off my conscience. Because, you know, I consider you my best friend now. And he goes, I've been lying to you. I've been telling you I'm going here, and I've really been going there, and I've been you know, but if ever since I've known you, essentially, and living with you, I've been telling you things that aren't true. And he goes, it's not right. So I feel real guilty about it. I haven't been able to sleep. He goes, I've been getting in sleep. I've been getting, feeling ill. So he was really getting upset about it. So he told me, he said, I'm gay. And we talked. We talked until 3:30 in the morning for about 2 to 3 hours after we talked. He was all happy now because, I mean, the next day was amazing. He was, just a new person, boy. He was psyched because it was off his mind, you know. He was sort of leery, I think, of the whole thing. He wasn't sure how to deal with it.
Well, he's probably but relieved that you didn't
he was real scared.
Out.
He was scared to death that I was going to do with his best friend.
Yeah,
and I guess, what the turning point was, we were at a party with some friends of ours down in the south side of town. Down south by Ben White, they have a house down there. We were at a party, and we were all surrounded drinking, and this guy, Lars, is his name, is gay, and I didn't know he was gay either.
Lars?
But, yeah, he is gay. Lars is talking about, we were all sitting around talking about some this guy at the party who's gay, flagrantly gay, you know, femininely gay, and we were talking about it, and they were saying that you know, sometimes you never know, and I don't know, they were kind of that condemnation stuff came up to about it. I said, I said, I can't condemn it. I said, I don't think it's right. I said, I can't, for some reason, I can't comprehend it, I can't grasp it, I don't think it's biologically right. I said it like that. I said, but I've got a real good friend back in New York, a 48-year-old man, who is a dear friend of mine, and he's gay. And I said, he's never admitted it to me, but it's obvious, I know he is. And I said, you know, I don't condemn it, because I don't understand it, I just don't know enough about it to say either way. I said, a big part of it goes back to my religious background, but I have a hard time accepting this being norm and right, and physically acceptable. I just don't understand it otherwise. And Dan was listening to this, and I guess it made him think that I was receptive enough to it that he could hear that I was, you know, that he was, because he was saying it. So he said, I heard you saying this, and when you said that you, for a dear friend of yours back home was gay, and that you weren't hostile to it, he goes, I figured he's got to be able to accept that I'm gay, you know? So he told me, you know, he was like, well, he was happy with the figured shit, he really was, because the next day, like, he was just really happy, he was just all new, like, it was really funny. He's having a hard time with it because he doesn't feel comfortable falling in love with a guy. And he has a hard time falling in love with a woman. He's been in love with a woman before, he thinks, but hasn't been able to have the relationships work because he was gay. He's definitely got feelings for both, but he hasn't been able to make either of them work. I know he's been in love with a woman before, and I know he's been attracted to at least strongly to a man. But neither of them have ever worked because he won't let himself. He doesn't know which side he wants to go to.
Yeah.
And he hasn't let himself go either way. So he's having a hard time with it, really.
He's sort of stuck in between.
He is. He's really in a hard time with it. Mm. What I should do is when I go home to New York this week, I should go to a gay bar and get like something from the gay bar to bring back to him. He'd be shocked.
He'd probably laugh his head off.
He would be shocked. He would be like a t-shirt from one of the gay bars or something that he'd know about. He'd be like, oh my god. You're crazy.
Did you ever see La Cache aux Folles? Mm-hmm. The French movie that...
Yeah, I know.
All parts of the world. It's about... These birds and feather.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a gay couple that live in the south of France and have a saloon, a club where no acts are given and so on. They get in a situation where the gay couple, the one who acts like the man, has been married before and he has a son who lives with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the son falls in love with a beautiful, virgin-like looking daughter of the minister of moral affairs.
It becomes real political, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes real political. And eventually the two want to get married and you get into a situation where the parents of the girl want to meet the parents of the boy.
Yeah.
And of course we have...
And the father goes back and tries to explain this to masculine figure tries to go back and explain this to the feminine figure.
Yeah,
he says, I am what I am.
The Frenchman that plays the woman is absolutely Well, the American version of it that's been on Broadway is not very good compared to the film. The Frenchman is natural. He's got everything down pat. He acts more like a woman than most women do. And just the way he butters his bread and the way he walks, and it's not really effective. It's not exaggerated with women, but it's exactly. Yeah, and he's got all those movements down pat. In fact, I started looking at him.
No.
He's in his 60s. He's a very renowned actor in Europe. Yeah, he's done all sorts of roles. Usually he's very masculine. But he's sort of a Charlton Heston figure. And that's why everybody was so surprised when he did this movie. He came out looking like a type of woman, but he's so good. If you ever get a chance to see that film in the original language, the subtitles too, because, I don't know, it's a lot of fun and you laugh throughout the movie, but really it has a little message too, that maybe homosexuality is not as offensive as it may look to you as heterosexual. That is my favorite funny movie. I think you ought to do that burp again for Kathy's sake.
Okay.
Over there, you want to work in one of the cabinets, but it's not in the room.
So you can't file it,
But it took me 3 months to figure that out.
I got something.
Thank you. That's what I do.
That's what you do?
Yeah, that's what I do. But now I do a lot of that.
Three international direct sales for Texas. Major delivery packages to research alternative marketing strategy and increase support for state Texas office in Mexico City. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you should see the guy that's in charge of that office. He is the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's... He's 5'4".
5'4"?
Yeah, about, well, maybe 5'5" at the most.
Big guy.
Oh, yeah. And he's totally, he's full-bred Mexican. He speaks fluent American. He's dating one of the top Mexican actresses in their movies.
Pretty good.
He came to my office to figure out what he was doing. I told the commissioner and I've never seen such a beautiful computer program before that if I wanted to teach you computer programming, he'd love to have private lessons from me.
Why are you blushing?
Because it was so funny when the commissioner told me, I was blushing.
You're blushing now?
Oh, because he was so very handsome. He really is. He's not somebody I would want to date, but... This is what I'm doing now. Well, producers this and distributors this are not really available in Texas. I mean, there really is not a list anywhere to be found that lists everybody in the state and what they do. It's just scattered all over the place. And so I'm trying to piece it all together on the red tape and stick it in the computer and see what I can get it to spit out.
Spit it all out
Well, it's taken a long time because I haven't been able to figure out the program so that will make it spit it out the way I want it to. But I'm working on it.
I'm going to take a computer course next year.
Well, I'm doing a lot more with computers than I was supposed to begin with that job, but that's just because there's nobody else to do it. I told you about how the department is now finally realizing that they all need to be computerized, and not just international marketing, and we're stuck with a system that's too small for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me on that executive committee to find
figure out. You're looking to get a new one, right?
What they want to do is take the mainframe, which is a 10-year-old machine, which is always used for information processing, and expand it to the point where we can service the whole agency, including us. The only thing is, it doesn't take the kind of software that we need, and it would be a real mess to do that. And if they expand it the way that it should be expanded, it's going to cost them about $500,000. Whereas if they convert, it would cost them less, but if they convert it, you know, meaning throw out the whole whole system and put in a completely new one.
They convert it,
then
it would
cost
the agency, them less.
Yeah.
Why are they even considering income?
Because right now, for example, the county is totally dependent on that system. And in order to convert, it would cost a lot in terms of agency money. In terms of time,
transferring
from one computer system to another. In other words, they're not readily calculable costs that they're there.
Okay.
So eventually, conversion would be more expensive to be able to back about 2 years. Then it would be to go with the old equipment and add on to it, except that the old equipment doesn't really They say it can be expanded, but I don't believe it. My boss and I don't believe it. It can be expanded in terms of storage space. It can take about 600 more megabytes of storage, but it doesn't take much more memory. It's already up to capacity in terms of memory.
Okay.
So when you start sticking on about 40 or 50 terminals to service the whole agency, you're going to have a lag time in there of about 5 minutes to submit something to the computer, and you can sit there and twiddle your thumb and you wait 5 minutes for it to come back.
Yeah.
Whereas right now on my own little Nintendo system, I get information back in about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's about the response time you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always the trouble when you go with a big system.
Why do you think it's going back 2 years? If they, how long is, would it really take them that long to transfer the information from one bad data system to another?
It's incredible how long it takes for an organization to adjust to a completely new computer and a completely new company.
Well, setting it back 2 years would be by one. What do you mean by that?
Setting it back is in, of course, this is every, I guess every 4 years. Agency gets a new commissioner, right? Because you're on politics involved. So every commissioner has his own methods and ideas and revolutionary ways of improving the service to the community, to the public. And a lot of it has been going to county. I mean, this new commissioner has hired a lot of new people that have revolutionized the county department. They're doing things a lot more efficiently now. And if they were to convert to a new computer system while they become so dependent on this old one, all those methods would go down the drain because they would have to adjust all those methods to new accounting methods to the new software. So it all has to be entered differently, it all has to be calculated differently, translated differently, and so forth.
So that would put back his plan for expansion.
That would put back his plan.
Which would hurt him politically.
So that's a very big consideration. They'd rather spend, you know, initially $300,000 more on the hardware and the adjustment costs so that they can stick with the old system. But the way my boss and I are seeing it this week, we've sort of been planning. It's inspiring because we have another presentation to the executive committee next week, and that's probably our last shot. We're going to try to prove to them that the old system does not have the capacity to expand its memory. And if it cannot expand its memory, it's not feasible to hook up the rest of the agency to it. In order to do that, we're going to have to call in somebody from Burroughs who can be honest. Somebody from the old system would be honest about that. So you're right. Right now, the salesman has just been talking up a storm about all these wonderful new programs that all these additions to the old system can do, and electronic mail and all sorts of neato things that, you know, come in five different colors on screen. To baffle any secretary out of their wits, and really doesn't mean anything when you start talking about the county department or our department, the National Marketing. We're going to be looking at lists. Some of these lists are going to be huge. The buyer list. I found a buyer list of 17,000 foreign companies that are interested in Texas products. Some of them are Texas products. They're U.S. products, actually, that the federal government has in Washington. And that list takes up 35 megabytes of storage space, which is twice as much storage space as my system has in total.
Yeah.
It's a huge list. It would fill a room.